tell you most solemnly, you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy.
My name is Mary Helen Fiorito, and for 12 years I had the privilege of serving as the executive assistant to Francis Cardinal George, the late Archbishop of Chicago. Many Chicagoans are familiar with Cardinal George's exemplary pastoral gifts. He was prayerful, he was kind, he was wise, and he always took time for others, no matter how busy he was. However, some might not realize the intellectual gifts that he brought not only to the Catholic Church locally, but to the Catholic Church nationwide and even worldwide. He was considered a real scholar who could quickly and thoroughly analyze very complicated situations and come up with a solution or a way to move forward that would be both true to the Catholic faith, but also make it a way in which we could function in today's society with all of its complexities.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio presents The Life and Legacy of Francis Cardinal George, a live conversation from the William and Lois Mackesy Theological Resource Center at Mundelein Seminary, sponsored by the Helen Brock Foundation and Mundelein Seminary.
My name is William Mackesy, Chairman of the Advisory Board here at the University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary. We are here today to celebrate the life and legacy of His Eminence Francis Cardinal George, OMI, which marks the one-year anniversary of his passing. As chairman, I had the privilege of working for the Cardinal the past 10 years, which, to say the least, has been a very enriching experience and also created a rewarding personal relationship. During this period, we constructed this building so that the seminarians would have the best theological resources at their fingertips. Mundelein Seminary is not only the largest Catholic seminary in the nation, but with Cardinal George's leadership, in my opinion, and that of many, the most outstanding. We have brought together a panel that had a unique relationship with the Cardinal, and they are here to discuss not only their professional relationships, but their personal interactions that help you to understand the person as well as his great leadership of the Chicago Archdiocese. Our moderator today is Father John Jimnicki, who will discuss these aspects of the Cardinal's life with this panel of distinguished guests. But first, I would like to turn the program over to Bishop Raymond Gedert of the Archdiocese of Chicago to lead us in the Regina Caeli.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia.
For he whom you did merit to bear, alleluia.
Has risen as he said, alleluia.
Pray for us to God, alleluia.
Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, alleluia.
For the Lord has truly risen, alleluia.
Let us pray. O God, who gave joy to the world through the resurrection of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, grant, we beseech thee, that through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, his mother, we may obtain the joys of everlasting life through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Bishop Gedert, Mr. Mackesy. We are so delighted to be here in our area and our region to have this broadcast on the life and legacy of His Eminence Francis Cardinal George, former Archbishop of Chicago. I'm Father John Jimnicki. I'm the moderator of the panel today. We have a very distinguished panel here. Archbishop Listecki of Milwaukee, Bishop Gedert, Auxiliary Bishop Emeritus of Chicago, Bishop David Malloy, the Bishop of Rockford, Monsignor Canary, former Vicar General of the Archdiocese of Chicago under Cardinal George, Father Daniel Flens, the former Priest Secretary of Cardinal George, Mrs. Mary Helen Fiorito, former Executive Assistant and Secretary to Cardinal George, Mr. Patrick McCaskey, chairman of Sports Faith International and WSFI, Catholic Radio 88.5, and Mr. William Mackesy, the chairman of the Mundelein Seminary's Events Committee. I am so delighted to be here today to lead this panel, and this panel today is made up of people from our region and people that were very, very close to Cardinal George, and they are only here today around this table because of what Cardinal George has meant to them and how Cardinal George has influenced their lives. I would like to introduce the first person to make some comments about his relationship with Cardinal George, Archbishop Jerome Listecki. Archbishop Listecki was ordained a bishop by Cardinal George. Archbishop, tell us a little bit about your relationship.
A bishop himself considers it a tremendous blessing to be able to ordain another bishop. And Cardinal George was certainly fortunate to be able to do that a number of times. And I happen to be one of that kind of special legacy that had Cardinal George's hands imposed upon me. I first met Cardinal George here at the seminary when he was named as the Archbishop of Chicago. I was teaching here at the seminary moral theology, and I know Father Canary's here, and you might remember the time that faculty all was gathered together in the upper room, they refer to it, and Cardinal George went around being introduced to everyone. Just to let you know about the man's mind and his personal relationship with people, he came up to me and I shook my hands. First time I'm meeting him, so I'm saying hello to the new Archbishop, and he takes his finger, he points out and says, "Tom Murphy, who was then the Archbishop of Seattle, told me to contact you about a year and a half ago." And he says, "I forgot to do that." What tells you immediately, there's a side that isn't just this business managerial individual, but a personal relationship that's responsive in the individual. Now, Archbishop Murphy had called me and said, "This then Archbishop George may be calling you, asking you about." I said, "Fine, I'd be glad to do that." But that never occurred. That never actually happened. But it was still in his mind that that was something basically he should do. So you already can begin to see, you know, in the man a responsibility that he had not only on an administrative managerial level, but on a personal level. If he was going to say something to someone, he was going to follow through in his actions about that. I was fortunate to be able to have been ordained by Cardinal George, and you could probably blame him as well as John Paul II for my being a bishop. And the relationship to Cardinal George and John Paul II was a very unique one, because in that relationship there were two philosophical minds that had merged together. Most of us kind of operate on basically a day-to-day level, you know, basically a routine level, kind of a sense of how to get along and to go along. But rarely do any of us really pull back and really examine why we do what we do and for what purpose. Cardinal George had that wonderful ability to be able to do that, to pull back and to help people examine why they do and for whom they were doing it. And that kinship in spirit philosophically with John Paul II was there immediately. They would feed off of each other in terms of basically their insight. Philosophical mind was certainly present in his appreciation. And you can see that in the books that he's written. Certainly his references to JP2 in the three books that he's produced demonstrates how this man was always, always thinking. And the level at a conference, what made you very proud to be a Chicagoan and a Chicago bishop is, I have to tell you, and I hope I'm not suddenly divulging any secrets, but the conference could be pretty boring, if you like. It could be boring, you know, because there's a routine to the conference. Things are presented. You expect people to get up, thank everybody back and forth. So as a result, you know, there's not much attention being paid to usually the person who is addressing the conference or responding to the conference. Inevitably, when the chair would recognize Cardinal George, pens were put down, seats would suddenly be pulled in, backs would straighten up, and attention would be given by all those. You knew that something beneficial was going to be offered to you. You knew that a reflection was going to be given that would give you a new insight, a new dimension. This was the effect that Cardinal George had as an intellectual leader for the U.S. conference that many bishops feel that absence of today.
Thank you so much, Archbishop. Our next panelist is Bishop David Malloy, the Bishop of Rockford. talking about the Bishops' Conference being a little boring sometimes. Well, Bishop Malloy was the General Secretary of the Bishops' Conference under Cardinal George, and Bishop Malloy also was ordained by Cardinal George as Bishop of Rockford. And I know they had a very, very close relationship. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about it, Bishop Malloy.
I'm very grateful for the opportunity just to be with other people to reflect on the man and the depth that Cardinal George was. And I think we got a first sense of that from the way that Archbishop Listecki kind of laid out the wide context of Cardinal George. He noted that he had the privilege of being ordained and consecrated by Cardinal George. I also did. And one of the co-consecrators was Archbishop Listecki, so I had hands coming at me from all sides and all going back to Cardinal George and to the lineage that Cardinal George had. I first met Cardinal George when I was working in the Vatican, and I think it was a sort of an interesting, a summary, almost an example of what Archbishop Listecki talked about. I was in the office called the Prefecture of the Papal Household, which basically was the scheduling office. And they would schedule those audiences that the Holy Father would have. At the time, it was, of course, Pope St. John Paul. I was working late one morning, and my boss came in to my office, and I was typing away and doing whatever I was doing, and he said, "Cardinal George is here today meeting the Pope." Well, they didn't generally worry about that with me, so I kept typing, and I said, "That's nice." And he said, "Cardinal George gave a talk upstairs." And I kept typing, and I said, "That's also very nice." And they said they really liked Cardinal George's talk. And I began to stop typing and saying, "And so?" And they said they asked him to type it out. Because if you ever saw Cardinal George when he gave a talk,
terrible,
you would often have a piece of paper with scribbles and writings and all going in different directions. As somebody once said, who sat next to him as he gave a talk, they thought it was coming out of the Old Testament, "Thus saith the prophet." But he had to come down and type out his talk that the Holy Father had just heard and was so taken with. And so they needed a computer. And so I had 30 seconds to clear my desk, and Cardinal George came in. But it was, I think, between that brilliance, that excellence, that depth of spirituality that Cardinal George brought. And one other thought that I would have is with regard to the conference. I know exactly what Archbishop Listecki was talking about. I was once listening to Lake Wobegon, and Garrison Keillor talked about the priest in Lake Wobegon. And I remember this line. He said, "When the priest would talk, even the dogs would stop barking." There was something about that when Cardinal George would speak at the conference. As the Archbishop Listecki said, pens would go down, seats would move, and the brilliance would begin to flow. So just some very wonderful memories and great contributions that he made.
Thank you so much, Bishop Malloy. Bishop Malloy and I go back to the Bishop's Conference too, so we did have a little fun over there, I must say. So we're going to take a little break now.
Hello, I am Bishop Alberto Rojas, one of the auxiliary bishops in Chicago. Anything that has to do to bring in the message of salvation, bring in the message of Jesus in any way, but especially through the radio, through the media today, as we advance, how media has evolved so fast, not only through the radio, but through all kinds of ways, especially with the computers and phones, and this is unbelievable. I think it's very important that we use these means of communication to also bring the message of salvation, the message of Jesus through the world.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at wsfiradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Listen at 7 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday to WSFI Spotlight, a half-hour conversation with outstanding Catholics from our community and around the world. WSFI Spotlight re-airs on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. or listen on demand anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIradio.org for more information. It's WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light. Only on WSFI Catholic Radio, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m.
Hi, this is Bonnie Quirk with Lake County Right to Life. My memories of Cardinal George is what a defender and protector for the unborn he was, and oh, how we miss him. But through his intercession, I am assured the unborn will be prayed for daily.
Hi, this is Tom O'Connor. I remember the day that Cardinal Francis George blessed this new Mackesy Library. I was there that glorious day. Thank you, Cardinal George, for blessing this beautiful library and making such a day so momentous.
Welcome back to the life and legacy of His Eminence Francis Cardinal George, the Archbishop of Chicago. We will continue with our wonderful panel presentation here on their experiences with Cardinal George. The next person on the panel is Bishop Raymond Gettert. Bishop Gettert is someone who lived with Cardinal George for the whole period of time that Cardinal George lived here in Chicago as the Archbishop. He wound up being a very close friend, a counselor, advisor to Cardinal George. And so, Bishop Gettert, tell us a little bit about your relationship with Cardinal George.
I'd like to just comment a few things about Cardinal George that perhaps other people wouldn't be aware of. He did have a very good sense of humor. And I remember when I was retired, we were down in the one of the conference rooms at the Pastoral Center, and they were saying a lot of nice things and presenting me with various gifts. But Cardinal George really knew what I would want if I were to be asked. And I'm sure he would have been willing to offer me his doctoral thesis or one of the books he had written. And I've tried to read them. But he knew what I really needed and wanted as I was beginning my retirement. I'm an outdoor man, and I kind of like, well, I did have a chainsaw, and I like chopping trees down. And he gave me a $500 gift certificate to Home Depot. That I would treasure. The other part for me, I mean, there's so many things you could say about him in admiration, but I have to say that for me, what impressed me most were those last years of his life. He really suffered. He suffered an awful lot. I never heard him complain. And he was in and out of the hospital. Father Dan took him I don't know how many times. And he would come home and, you know, it got pretty serious for a while. He couldn't come downstairs, so we would say mass upstairs outside his room. And we would have our meals up there from time to time so that he wouldn't be able to come down. But he was really, in my mind, a heroic man in the way he accepted the cross. So they'll be writing all sorts of things about him and that, but that's what's going to be my memory. I'm not a good one for getting sick and enjoying poor health. God has been, I guess he knows that, and so he's blessed me with pretty good health. But Cardinal George, in the early time of his life, he was suffering from polio, and he carried the cross all through the years, and especially those last few years when he was in and out of the hospital. He is, in my mind, a living saint. And that'll probably be the memory that I'll carry to the grave myself. I hope to meet him someday, but
right. So. Great, thank you so much, Bishop Gettert. The very important thing in the life of an archbishop is his seminary and then his archdiocese. The one who was entrusted for so many years to both run his seminary and then to be is second in command of the his archdiocese was Monsignor John Canary. And Monsignor, what are some of your, could you explain a little bit what your relationship with Cardinal George is like?
In 1996, I was giving a retreat to the priests out in Portland, Oregon. And at the end of the retreat, someone who had been sitting up front, I didn't know these priests, being from Chicago, but there had been someone up in front the entire retreat. This person got up and went to the microphone and said to the priests who were there, I'm very glad to be your new archbishop. He said, I've come from Yakima, and I hope to be with you a long time. He said, you will teach me how to be a diocesan bishop, but I will teach you all how to be missionaries. And that was Cardinal George. Little did he know, and little did I know, within the year he would no longer be in Portland, he would be in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And when he came, I was rector here at Mundelein Seminary. I worked with him for 9 years as the rector. And what struck me were many of the good things that he was doing here at the seminary. He did revise the program for the training of permanent deacons. He revised the program for the training of lay ministers. And then as I was leaving, he was beginning to revise the program for the seminary training. But what struck me is a variation of what Bishop Getter just said. In all of that, it was not the program that he was interested in. It was the life of the church. And what he realized was so much of the life of the church depended on the quality of the people and their preparation to serve in the church. So he spent a good deal of his time getting to know the seminarians, and by the end of his time, he literally knew most of the priests by name, and most of the priests felt they did have a personal relationship with him. And it was more than just a friendship thing. For him, I think it was for the sake of the life of the church. I also worked with him for 7 years as his vicar general. I think probably any bishop in the country today is under a lot of pressure, but this particular bishop, Cardinal George, assumes so many responsibilities within the archdiocese, the third largest in the United States, but also for the country and even beyond the United States, all the work he did in Rome. Never once, even in his later years in his illness, did I hear him complain. He simply embraced the responsibilities that were entrusted to him, and with faith and with the spirit of true love, he was able to respond in unbelievable ways for most of us. So that was my relationship with him.
Well, that's a wonderful relationship, Monsignor. The next person on the panel was someone who not only lived with the Cardinal, traveled with the Cardinal, was at every event that the Cardinal was at, went to the hospital and to the doctors with the Cardinal, was involved in almost every aspect of his life. It was his priest secretary, Father Daniel Flens. Father Flens, could you tell us a little bit about your relationship with the Cardinal?
Sure, Father John. I served, as you said, as his priest secretary for 13 years, from 2003, middle of 2003, until he passed away. One of the reasons, perhaps, I kept the job for so long was I discovered I was able to read his handwriting. So I was the translator in many ways. Bishop Malloy knows that because there were letters that would come from the USCCB as drafts, and the Cardinal would make notes on them, and I quickly realized I can't just fax this back to the conference. They'll never read it. So I had to sit there and type in the changes and send them back by email, and back and forth we went for about 3 years, he was president. To pick up on a few of the things that even Bishop Getter said, he did have a sense of humor. I remember one time he had to buy a gift for Bishop Caffer, who had been the retired auxiliary bishop of Joliet. I think it was Bishop Caffer's golden jubilee of priesthood. Well, he knew that Bishop Caffer, like himself, loved ice cream. And so he said to me, go online and see if you can find a gold-plated ice cream scoop, which I actually was able to find, and we were able to get it engraved with a congratulatory message to Bishop Caffer, and that was the anniversary gift for Bishop Caffer at the time. And I had the privilege of traveling around with him, as Father John said, and one of the things I saw clearly there was how much he loved being with people. He used to say, that was the fun part of my job. There were the meetings, the administration, and the budgets, but he loved being out there with people. And once he made a commitment to celebrate a mass somewhere or be at some event, he was loath to have to cancel it. He really wanted to be there. I met him once, even before I became a secretary. He came out to my parish for just a talk. And one of the things we learned was that he showed up a little bit late, but then he stayed until the last person who wanted to talk to him at the reception that followed was able to talk to him. He stayed till the very end for the last picture, the last conversation. When I became his secretary and had the responsibility of driving him around, I was able to get him a little more punctual because we could get there on time for things, but I wasn't able to keep him from staying until the very end, and that was a joy to see. He would just be there with people, with kids, with folks who wanted to come up and say hello. He especially liked being with young people. And that's whether it could be going to classrooms at a grade school. He'd periodically get asked sometimes by a friend who was a professor at DePaul University to come in and teach a class. And he loved going back to that old professor mode in the sense that he loved the dialogue. He loved doing the question and answer with the young people and being able to do that. The other place I saw that was at World Youth Day, which he really enjoyed going to. And he would show up there and, again, go to those churches where you typically meet the different groups of pilgrims. And because of his facility with languages, he is able to answer questions and talk to them in two or three different languages, French, Spanish, English, whatever it took, he was able to do it. And he would push himself, even in his later years when the illness was getting to him, bad weather, no matter what, he would want to be there if he had made a commitment. We pushed through a snowstorm one morning to get out to the Port Clares to celebrate a mass for them. He endured the heat of Madrid when we were there for World Youth Day, but he loved being with people, and that's why I think he was remembered so fondly by so many, because they felt that personal relationship. I remember even seminarians would call my office and say, we'd like to set up an appointment with the Cardinal. And the first time that happened, it shocked me, because in my day as a seminarian, if you had to go in for an appointment with the Cardinal, it probably meant you should be looking for a different job somewhere. But in this case, they felt close enough to him, and they wanted to talk about something, and they wanted to come in and talk one-on-one with him about it. And so they did.
Thank you so much. If anybody who knows Cardinal George, it would be you, Father Flynn. You spent so much time with him. The next person is a young lady who has been working with the Archdiocese of Chicago for many, many years, and she wound up being his executive assistant and secretary, and I don't know, any of us that have been pastors or have run any offices know that the one who does all the work usually and gets everything done is the secretary. So I'm sure that was Mrs. Mary Halloran Fiorito here, who's with us here today. And so tell us a little bit about your relationship with the Cardinal.
Okay, well, thank you. I think much of what I will say will echo some of the sentiments that have already been expressed. Some of the allusions to the Cardinal's handwriting. I remember one time someone asking me if we ever had concerns, you know, for security reasons, because a lot of the materials we dealt with were very sensitive about leaving papers out on the desk, and sort of our joke among the staff was that the Cardinal's handwriting was naturally encrypted, so that it really wasn't a problem. We could pretty much leave everything out. But some of what others have mentioned about the Cardinal truly being interested in you and your life, I think among the employees, not only, I don't think there was anyone whose name he didn't know, and he not only knew your name, but he would likely know the name of your spouse if you had one, and your children's name, probably your dog. He really was interested personally, and you know, I was talking with my children, we were just kind of sharing some of our memories about the Cardinal, and there was one day during the summer one of my children was turning 7, and so I had taken a day off work, and I was down in the basement, you know, getting the juice boxes or something, and I heard the phone ring, and she picked up the phone, and I heard her, and she's chatting, and she's talking about the kind of cake she was having, and the color of the balloons, and I thought it was grandma calling, right, so, because it was going on and on and on. And then all of a sudden I heard, you know, someone calling me in the basement, Mom, the Cardinal's on the phone. And, but he had really taken time to ask her lots of detailed questions about her birthday and what she was doing and who she was having. And so to me that just really spoke of how personally involved and interested he was in the people that worked for him and worked with him. Some of the other memories I've sort of been reflecting on recently, one sort of from the beginning of the Cardinal's tenure with us and one towards the end, the very first press conference that was held in Chicago the day he was named Archbishop. And of course, it was very, very widely attended by, I think, every major media outlet in the Midwest. And he was being peppered with questions, all of which he fielded, you know, very easily. But one of the last ones was a reporter who said to him, you know, the mass going rate among Catholics is very low. What are you going to do about that? And his response was, well, you're talking about epistemological dissonance. And when you talk about epistemologic, and all of a sudden it was like that line from scripture, and they were afraid to ask him any other questions. But that's kind of how he talked all the time. So it's a nice memory to share now.
These are wonderful memories. Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing these relationships. You can see we have a panel of people that know Cardinal George or close to Cardinal George and have so much to contribute. We'll be back in just a little bit with the life and legacy of Cardinal George. We'll talk a little bit more about his contributions to the world, to the nation, and to our region.
Hi, this is Mike McCoy. I went to the University of Notre Dame, played 11 years in the NFL. And why is Catholic radio relevant for the Chicago area? Well, I think it's relevant all over the country because of what's going on in our culture today. I see it all the time as I go into Catholic schools. A lot of pressure on our young people. You know, what's the truth? What's not the truth? What's the absolute truth? So hopefully by coming into this social media radio, we'll get some positive things out there so people can listen to. So that's why I think it's relevant, because our culture is overwhelming us today.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
This is John Sheridan. Cardinal George and I entered Quigley Preparatory Seminary on the same day in 1951. He only stayed a few days because he couldn't negotiate the many stairs in the building due to the polio he contracted as a child. It was a great loss for Quigley, but it was a great gain for the Archdiocese of Chicago when he was appointed Archbishop 5.5 decades later.
I'm Joan McHugh from Witness Ministries. Cardinal George believed deeply in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and he wrote the foreword for one of my books, Eucharist, God Among Us.
Welcome back to the life and legacy of Francis Cardinal George. We are discussing his contributions to our world, our nation, the local church, and the region where we all find ourselves in here in northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin. And so we are very happy to continue with our panel just for a moment here before we break into some more serious kinds of questions to discuss a little bit of Cardinal's contribution, the way this panel sees them, in a panel that knows the Cardinal very, very well and knows our area very, very well and knows the church very, very well. Mr. Bill Mackesy. Mr. Mackesy is the chairman of Mundelein Seminary Events Committee. And Mr. Mackesy had a relationship with Cardinal George for many years. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
The only comments I would tell you about Cardinal George and my relationship has been basically, it started out as chairman of the board, but prior to that, I was on the board, and I used to tell my wife, Lois, I'd say, you know, I have no fear of any man. I came back from my first board meeting that he was at, and I said, well, minus one. Cardinal George had such an aura about him, or such a presence about him, I should say, that when I first met him, he came in, for lack of any other term, with his flowing gowns, and I thought, what is this? Eventually, I got elected chairman of the board and worked with him for 10 years. And I can tell you, he's probably the most intellectual, brightest man I have ever met in my life. I just was in awe of him. But we did get a personal relationship over a period of time that has been one of the highlights of my life. You know, we'd have these board meetings, and most of the people on the board, needless to say, we have bishops and archbishops, but the lay people were business people, basically like myself, and we're accustomed to be in charge. And so I'd be running the board meeting, and we almost felt like we were a separate entity, separate and distinct from the Archdiocese in the downtown Pastoral Center. So we'd start going and making decisions and saying, we're gonna do this and we're gonna do that. All of a sudden, Cardinal George would say, the last I looked, I'm the chancellor here. And the last I looked, this is part of the Chicago Archdiocese. And yes, sir, all of a sudden, everything stopped. And we got back on track again. But he had a way, it would almost be like you were in the backfield and running with the ball, and he was Butkus. If you went too far, he'd say, enough. So I was always impressed with him, but he was a good listener. He had such a presence about him that we just had a thing the other night called the Celebration of Mundelein Seminary. And we've been doing that every year, and the Cardinal, of course, would always be at those functions. And a lot of people would come up to me and say, well, this is really a fundraiser, isn't it? And I'd say, yes, it's a fundraiser. But I said, if some of these fundraising people from the Institutional Advancement approached you, just keep moving. Don't stop. Smile. Keep moving, because they're after money, and that's the best advice I give you. But I said, if Cardinal George approached you, you stop, you listen, you smile, and then you just say, would you like that in cash? Would you like a credit card? And then you thank him. And after he left, you wondered what happened. That's how this building got built. At any rate, I've had nothing but great memories of Cardinal George, and I pray to him every day, because if he's not up there, we don't have a chance.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Maxey. You know, as they say, why we're here today is to reflect a little bit on his legacy and the contributions that we see that his great life and leadership and history here in the Midwest has how he has contributed both to the world and the world church, to our nation, which he did on many, many levels, our whole local area here too. And I said so many, we can see that the bishops of our local area are people that that were ordained by Cardinal George, and he had a great influence over all the surrounding diocese and the people here, and his great national role. So if maybe in some way, Bishop Malloy, I just want to ask you, you were a little familiar with the world, national, and local church here. What would be some of your thoughts about the ways that the Cardinal has made some major contributions to the world, the nation, and to our local area here?
Cardinal George was very very gifted and very interested in the whole horizon of issues, whether they be within the church, whether they would be the policy kinds of issues, whether they would be sort of the global philosophical issues. And we would see that. I recall traveling with him to Cuba, and for 3 or 4 days, his focus on the questions of Cuba and talking to the local bishop that was hosting us and discerning the whole up-to-date background on the relationship between the church, its strengths, its weaknesses after years under the Castro regime, the relationship of the bishops themselves to Castro. It was very, very interesting. Of course, one of the things the Cardinal was most noted for when he was the president of the conference was the way that he guided the conference in its discussion and policy-making area when the whole question of the Affordable Care Act was being negotiated and worked with. I know that there were very direct contacts at times between some of the legislators involved and Cardinal George. I would say it was very clear that everybody on all sides was hoping to be able to come out to say Cardinal George, on behalf of the bishops, supports or is somehow nodding favorably towards the direction that I'm trying to go. They recognized him for that. But what was fascinating in that moment, which certainly was very difficult and has played out in a difficult way over time, was the gravitas and the ability of the Cardinal to engage, certainly with the staffing that he got from our offices and things to explain to him what was going on, what were the issues, what were the background, but at the same time, his own ability to digest all of that in the context of an ecclesial vision, representing the bishops, very aware of where the bishops would wish to go, where, as president, without being able to take an instant poll, they would not be able to go. That's what leadership was about at that moment. The Cardinal, I think, demonstrated that. And if we remember, he was so frequently quoted nationally because he always, as Archbishop Lestecky said at the beginning, he always had something interesting and unique to say. And he had the ability just simply to throw out a question about an issue that left everybody saying, oh yeah, hadn't quite thought about that. And that gift of intelligence and spirituality brought that together.
Thank you very much. Archbishop Lestecky, can you see in what way the our local church, and I'm trying to mean the whole region here, has been impacted by Cardinal George and some specific things that that you might be able to relate to from your many years in working with him?
Sure, he was a tremendous regional leader. If you think in terms of Region 7, that takes in Wisconsin, Indiana, and Illinois. And it was always a tremendous pleasure to go to the conference when we had regional meetings. And everyone would come together, and we'd kind of rely upon Cardinal George for his insights in whatever issues were being raised. And I know Cardinal George, for a fact, was very dependent upon collaboration. So if something were going on in the region itself, he would collaborate with Indiana and Wisconsin in order to make sure that we were forming a good insight and a good solid response to our people. One thing I do want to mention in particular is that although we are kind of looking at the aspect of Cardinal George, especially in his tremendous intellect, and there's no doubt about that, no doubt about it, but he was tremendously a man of prayer. During the time that he was in the hospital, and Father Flintz, maybe you remember this, when he was actually dying. Do you remember that occasion? And he needed to kind of marshal basically support, and it was a nurse, in terms of an intervention at Loyola, a nurse who came in and literally drew attention to the fact that this man was experiencing something more than what the doctors had thought. And because of that intervention, literally the Cardinal was brought from the brink of death back into an ability ability to be healed and to once again assume his office. But during that time, he said to me that he felt the power of prayer, that people actually prayed for him, that he felt the connectedness that all of us experience. And that connectedness, I think you can't take a look at the man and just kind of pull out that he's a tremendous intellect without seeing him shaped in a relationship with our Lord in a very particular manner.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I was wondering, especially for Monsignor Canary and Bishop Gettard and Father Flens here, who works so closely with him in the Chicagoland kind of area here and across the way, if you saw some areas of great influence that he so uniquely moved ahead on and made happen, even if they were controversial, if there were things that probably wouldn't have been done without him being here, if from your own reflections about living and working with him, that you really realize it's a unique contribution that he brought to our area, probably that no one else would have. I mean, him being a local person, born in the Midwest here, born in the Chicago area, he brought a lot of knowledge of the community and the people that exist here with him, and so I think he had a unique contribution to give us also. Please just join in right in, Monsignor Canary.
You know, within the first few weeks as he came to Chicago, there was a terrible racial incident that happened on the south side, and so the first thing he did was to go and visit the family. Then he wrote a pastoral letter, Dwell in My Love. And out of that pastoral letter, which dealt with the issue of racism, which is in our bones, not only in the Archdiocese of Chicago, but in our country, he set up a procedure working with Sister Anita Baird that every parish and every institution would try to examine the basis of racism, even institutional racism, and that spread across almost 10 years. And I think in terms of our archdiocese, there were some real struggles as we tried to examine both personally and collectively the issue of racism. But to his credit, he was very focused around this issue, a long-term issue, at times a very controversial issue, but he saw the need for all of us to have some conversion around this issue. And I think in terms of the local church, it was certainly a blessing. One of the last things he did, out of his belief in the Catholic school system, was to begin a whole initiative to raise $300+ million in support of our Catholic schools. When he set that goal, I think people thought the goal was unrealistic. They weren't sure of the worthiness of the effort. As we are nearing the end of that whole campaign, the goal will indeed be met, $300+ million dedicated to Catholic schools. But it wasn't just financial for him. It dealt very much with the importance of passing on the faith, and he did not want to lose a relatively large Catholic school system, which we have in the Archdiocese of Chicago, more than 200 elementary schools, more than 50 high schools. And so in his own way, he was trying to plan for the future in our own archdiocese.
Father Flens?
Another area to which he contributed was being a religious, an out missionary oblate of Mary Immaculate. He knew religious life from the inside out. And even as he said, when you become a bishop, you're no longer under your religious superior, you're directly under the Holy Father. Since he was formed as a religious and knew it, many times religious communities of both women and men would ask him to come and speak because they knew he understood their life and could articulate so clearly the theology of it, as well as he could of lay ecclesial ministry. He was able to speak very clearly about that. And he said, if you get the theology right, everything else will fall into place. But we have to make sure it's clear what the distinctions are. His own order called him out, in fact, to their last general chapter in Rome to give a great talk to them, just remembering his history with the Oblates, but also about what it meant to be a missionary today. And he spoke to that. So he was able to make a lot of contributions there as a religious.
And as well, I would say, his understanding of the lay ecclesial movements present in the Archdiocese of Chicago, which we have a good number because he spent so many years as his order's vicar general in Rome. He had familiarity with many of them and with their charisms. And we went from really not tapping the lay movements as a resource to having annual gatherings with them that would, you know, number into the thousands. So he really expanded the way in which lay ecclesial movements were being tapped upon to do work in the diocese. And, you know, it's been interesting. I've been going back and reading some of his own old columns, his New World columns, to prepare for something. And he really had a prophetic voice, particularly in terms of his concerns about religious liberty issues. And I found a column from about 4 years ago where he talks about, you know, saying things like, if you had told me even 2 years ago that in Illinois our Catholic charities would no longer be able to place children into foster care, or that the church would no longer be able to do things to help women who were being trafficked because we don't provide abortions to those women, he said, I would have told you were crazy. So the real threats in the United States against our religious liberty, which we've only seen increase since he passed away, he was speaking about, I think, long before it really became a national concern.
Thank you. That's very good. I think it's so coincidental that we're all here together on this is the Good Shepherd weekend of scriptures in the church, and we are talking about a Good Shepherd, you know, that Christ has sent to be to lead us and the like. So it's really so beneficial and the like that we have this discussion now. I think what made the Cardinal such a good shepherd too, and I think we'd all agree, his availability. The availability of, he was so available, and that's what a shepherd is. He's there with the sheep, as the Holy Father has said. And Cardinal George was so much a part of all of our lives, and such an influence on all of our lives, and he truly was a good shepherd, and I think the scriptures really point to that today for Good Shepherd Sunday. So it is really something that we're very happy that you could all join us for this great discussion. What a wonderful group of friends that we have here today to talk about the life and legacy of Cardinal George on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. And now we'd like to introduce Mr. Patrick McCaskey, the chairman of Sports Faith International and WSFI Radio, for his closing remarks.
Thank you, Father. In the year 2000, I sent a collection of my poems to Cardinal George because he had a very difficult job and I wanted to give him some respectful comic relief. In 2004, my mother, Virginia McCaskey, was invited to have breakfast with Cardinal George at his mansion, and she asked me to go with her. During breakfast, Cardinal George asked me a deep theological question. Will you please pass me the orange juice? After I had passed him the orange juice, he asked me, isn't it unusual for a sportsman to write poetry? I replied, first of all, it's a gift. Cardinal George said, I understand that. I said, yes, it's unusual. Cardinal George and I had several things in common. He was born in Illinois, so was I. He was an altar boy, so was I. His first name was Francis. I was born in St. Francis Hospital. When someone asks me, how do you find time to write books? My humorous response is, during the bye week. My serious response is, Cardinal George was busier than I, and he wrote excellent books. In his book, God in Action, How Faith in God Can Address the Challenges of the World, Cardinal George called on us to rely on and cooperate with the providence of God. In his book, The Difference God Makes, is a scholarly reminder that the difference that God makes is grace. In his book, A Godly Humanism, clarifying the hope that lies within, he pointed out that St. John Paul II continued to write poetry after he had been named Pope. I not only read Cardinal George's books, I bought them. We are very grateful to Cardinal George for his support of Sports Faith International and WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. More importantly, we thank Cardinal George for being an excellent man of God. Thank you, Cardinal George, for being an eminent eminence. Thank you, Cardinal George. Chicago is a halfway house to heaven. We'll never forget the way you started. You were an excellent altar boy. Thank you, Cardinal George. You showed why you're wearing your ring. You represented Christ the King. Cardinal George, thank you. And thank you to our panelists, Bishop Listecki, Bishop Gettert, Bishop Malloy, Monsignor Canary, Father Flens, Mary Helen Fiorito, Bill Mackesy.
Well, it was wonderful to be here with you today. And as we conclude our whole presentation today, we would like to conclude with a prayer and a blessing by the Archbishop of Milwaukee, Archbishop Jerome Listecki.
Thank you, Father John, and thank all of you for listening and hearing a reflection about a wonderful leader and certainly a dedicated churchman. Who was an oblate of Mary Immaculate? So in closing, I think it's only fitting that we entrust our dear friend, the soul of our dear friend, Cardinal George, the Archdiocese of Chicago, its priests, its bishops, its deacons, its religious and lay faithful, to the care of that mother that makes us all children of her son. So together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord.
And may perpetual light shine upon him.
Mary, Mother of the Church,
pray for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Now and forever.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
May heaven and earth.
And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
My name is Angela Tomlinson. I'm the station manager of WSFI Catholic Radio. Cardinal George taught us how to carry the cross. He went down fighting the good fight. You know, I'll never forget he was nearing the end, and yet he agreed to pray the rosary for our radio station. And he led us in the scriptural version of the rosary, something I was hoping he would do, but didn't really have the heart to ask him. But in answer to my prayer, he kept asking me, what is it you want me to do? I told him, we prayed it in his tiny chapel with Father Flens and with the Albertine nuns. And the result to me is just a masterpiece, a legacy to our station and to the whole world.
For I shall see you again, and your hearts will be full of joy, and that joy no one shall take from you.
Thank you for joining us for the life and legacy of Francis Cardinal George, a live conversation from the William and Lois Mackesy Theological Resource Center at Mundelein Seminary, sponsored by the Helen Brock Foundation and Mundelein Seminary. To make a donation or for more information about WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, visit us online at wsfiradio.org or call 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455.